May Allah Ta'ala forgive that in every home we see this disease, this illness present. Due to this illness in society, disease, our children are affected, our sons are affected, our daughters are affected, our family members are affected, our elders are affected, our youth are affected. And this illness is very strong at the moment, this moment in time. We cannot understand that what should we do about this illness, this breakdown, this malady in society. And the more it attacks, we don't understand how to overcome it, how to defend it. We don't understand, we don't consider or work it out. Why are our children disobedient? Why don't they listen? We cry out, shriek out. We shriek at that time, we scream at that time when our heads are submerged fully in water. We don't know then what to do. We clutch at straws. It's an ajeeb topic, but a real topic that I'm discussing with you. And if we don't pay attention to this, then nobody will be saved in the household. Nobody can be saved. We can't. Because there's no cure that we have at present. We haven't analyzed, got to the root cause and understood what is the problem in our society today. People have said, Ajib, oh, we have issues in our homes, families, in our society. Okay, teach people the deen. Teach children the deen. Make them hafiz. Make them alims. Teach them hadith. But even that ilm has not affected positively the disease at hand. Rather, things have got worse. There are thousands of hafiz who have the Quran in their hearts and chest, and they're doing wrong. They're still doing wrong. Bukhari Sharif and all the other hadith they have studied, they graduate, boys and girls, men and women, and they're still sinning and doing wrong. So then another disease gets included and added to the first one. We think this is the cure, okay, let's do this. Send our children to the institutions, and then maybe through this our children will be reformed and improved, and we start to deceive ourselves. Okay, the sin in the first instance, and then teach deen and ilm. Then if this is the solution, why has the Quran and ilm and hadith not solved the issues of our youth? For example, you have a sickness and you go to the doctor, or you yourself, you say, oh, antibiotics cure sicknesses. So you start to consume amoxicillin and it's not curing the sickness. You go to the doctor, what medicine did you consume? Amoxicillin. He says, are you crazy? This disease you have, yes, this is an antibiotic, but this medicine will not work for this sickness. Bring this medicine, because we've researched and analyzed. We know that the illness that you have from within, this antibiotic will not kill it. That's why the doctor says that don't prescribe medicines to yourself, because not every medicine or antibiotic will have the cure for what the sickness you have. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we've thought ourselves, oh, Quran will solve this, and hadith, and make our children alimas or alims, and they'll automatically become pious. No, they're still the same, or they're worse, day and night, morning and evening. They're committing excesses and sins. So brothers, what can cure this disease that is prevalent in our society and homes today? What is it? Let's think again. What's happened to us? Or we start worrying more. Okay, first we're sinning, our children are sinning. Then we take them towards ilm and knowledge, and they get worse once they've studied Quran and hadith, and they can continue to sin or commit wrong actions. Then another attack of deception comes. Oh, you see, they were sinful before, then they learned Islam, and then they become worse. Then people start mocking. What's the use of teaching them Quran and hadith? It's not the fault of the Quran. The Quran is a massive energy and a push for the ummah. Quran and hadith is nothing greater. And to teach our children Quran and hadith and ilm is a great thing indeed. Cannot be a child is a hafidh and he studies hadith. There's no greater cure than this in the world today. Impossible. There isn't. And there's a reason that the sickness and the sins continue, is because this disease is not eliminated through ilm, through knowledge. We don't understand this. We utilize all resources, and then people become fed up or frustrated, and then they get a bit detached from the deen. I taught my child Quran, hadith, and ilm, and the Islamic sciences, and even then they continue to be misguided and on the wrong track. And then they come away from Islam and blame Astaghfirullah Islam, that Islam did not benefit them, and their minds are then contaminated and spoiled, and they go down the wrong route. So we need to analyze the sickness at hand. What is the sickness and what is the medicine that will cure the sickness? We don't even think. So we say, oh look, I taught my children Quran, and then what will we do after that additionally? Oh, somebody cast a magic spell on my children. Oh, so now the magicians, it's their happy days. It's the heyday. It cannot be my child who ended up like this. It was the auntie, uncle, relative who cast a spell on her. She's got jadu on her. Oh, this man, he come from India recently, and he sat there, that magician. He cast a magic spell on my children. I'm talking about ma'ashira today, our society. That the sicknesses we have, I'm not giving a speech. Oh, no, no, somebody's done magic or black magic. And then we go to exorcists and amils, and we go to sorcerers. But the sickness is there, if not worse. No one, for example, no sorcerer or exorcist or magician has solved the problem of our youth or our family members or colleagues or whoever is affected today. No amal, no magic can affect it. Oh, no, 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 he's a magician. He's a friend of Allah. He's achieved maximum. He can cure our problems. Never till today is somebody positively affected the disease that's prevalent in society. Rather, when you go to the wali and ask him to do dua, even that dua will not have a positive effect because of the severity of the disease. The reason is because we're not utilizing the right medicine. So who can tell us the reason about this? It's a very big problem we have in society today, in our society. All over. We are crying, clutching at straws, clutching our hair. Oh my son, oh my daughter, oh my this, oh my that, I've got issues. But we don't look at the cure. Look, the Quran gives us the cure. Who can give us the cure? What else can give us the cure apart from the Quran? Do we have any other resources? No. If there's one resource that can give us the solution to our problem today, it is what? The Quran. Allah's Kitab. The Quran explains the cure. Only the Quran, Wahid, can give us the cure for our problems. And if we don't take hold of this cure, then destruction will continue to grow, and fahish and immodesty and wrong things will spread across society, and they'll emanate from our own homes. And at the moment we're seeing nothing. It'll get worse. The Quran says clearly. We hear it every day. We read it. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. Who is Allah Ta'ala addressing? To those people who have iman. Yes, but this is our issue that's being discussed, isn't it? Those who have iman. Yes? Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tattabi'u khutawati shaytan. O people of belief, O you have attained to faith, follow not shaytan's footsteps. Footstep by footstep. Huh? We have to understand this. One is to follow somebody. Yes? But Allah Ta'ala says that you are following shaytan in such a way that you are following footstep by footstep. That if he's going left, you're going left. If he's going right, right. Wherever his footsteps are trodding, you are putting your feet in the same place. Footstep by footstep. Allah says, don't do this. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tattabi'u khutawati shaytan. Shaytan, don't follow him. Don't follow his footsteps. Don't do his pairwi. Don't do his ittiba. Allahu Akbar. Wa man yattabi' khutawati shaytan. Allah says, what will happen? فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining, defining, explaining in detail. The reason that all immodesty and sins and evil actions, there's one reason for this, is that you are doing ittiba of shaitan, you are obeying his words, following his instructions and influence, that you become so immersed in shaitan. Allah says, فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ He orders you, Allahu Akbar, He doesn't request you, He enjoins. And who enjoins? Who orders? The king that's strong. Your boss will order you. Who is higher than you in a level. He won't request you. He will order you. So shaitan, that individual is so mixed in with shaitan. He's become friends of shaitan. He's assigned full power to shaitan. That from within, inside, shaitan has controlled that individual. And then what does the shaitan do? فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Do fahisha, immodesty, zina. Go against iman, eat haram, do things against iman. And when you make somebody your leader, then you cannot reject his orders. Do you understand what I'm saying today? You realize? Look, at this is the essence of the issue. That all of the orders within us, all of the orders and instructions and direction will be shaitan. Take off parda, do this, X, Y, bang the drums, music. He's giving hukam inside and we have to follow it because we have accepted shaitan as our leader. Allah Ta'ala told us to refrain. That don't listen to shaitan. وَمَن يَتَّبِعُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَمَن يَتَّبِعُ خُطَوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ Allah says, for he who follows shaitan's footsteps will find that, behold, he enjoins but deeds of abomination. Allahu Akbar. So the Quran has told us the whole scenario. Immodest actions, disobedient actions, disobedience at home, children are spoiled, they will continue to get spoiled and get worse. There's one reason that we have embraced shaitan and accepted him as our supreme leader and we are following his orders. Whatever he says, we do. End of story. And shaitan has always been doing his tasks and his job, and he will continue, and he will never step back from his task. Allah Ta'ala has told us this clearly. Now Allah Ta'ala gives the cure. Subhanallah. That to be saved from shaitan, to leave shaitan, there's only one cure. There's no second cure, no second solution. If Allah has given the solution, then that is the supreme solution. There can be no other solution. All other doors and routes are closed. There's no other route to the solution. Allah says further, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala said it. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. And how Allah Ta'ala has explained the solution. That Allah Ta'ala says, this is my fadl, this is my grace and my rahmah, my favor, my mercy upon you that I've sent to you. That you've made a burden and a difficulty and you are upset with Allah's favor and His grace. Allah says, this in reality is my favor upon you, my rahmah, my rahm, my grace, my karam, that I'm giving you the solution to your problems. And you consider the solution, the supreme solution, as a burden. Allah says, Allahu Akbar, mazaka. I'm telling you the solution. If this solution wasn't present, then Allah Ta'ala is guaranteeing that no power of the world could save you from the problems you have today, from fahisha and all of the other problems. Mazaka. Look at the Quran. Allah says, and were it not for Allah's favor upon you and His grace, not one of you would ever have remained pure, clear. So Allah's fadl, His grace, His mercy and favor is given to us to be saved from shaitan. There's nothing else. Allah says, wahid, one cure I've given to you to be saved from shaitan's attacks. And what is that? How do we get saved from shaitan's ittiba? His imitation and obedience, by following the solution, wahid, that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Salah won't save us, and Hajj won't save us, and fasting won't save us, or Quran won't save us, or ilm won't save us. Nothing, Allah Ta'ala says, nothing can save you. Ma zakah, except one thing. What can that be? This is my special grace, my special mercy and favor. What is the greatest rahm and fadl of Allah? Allah Ta'ala says, that I, subhanallah, in place, instead of the alternate to ittiba shaitan, I've given you ittiba Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah says, instead of ittiba shaitan, I've given you ittiba, following the footsteps of rahmatul alameen. The holy prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming to this planet earth is the greatest fadl of Allah, the greatest grace of Allah, the greatest bounty of Allah, the greatest favor of Allah. Allah said, I made this world for this reason. On one side is shaitan's efforts, and he'll try to make you follow him. And subhanallah, on the other side will be stood the mahbub, the beloved of Allah, the prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will call out to you, O muslimin. The Prophet Muhammad said, come follow me, follow my footsteps. And those who have done ittiba of the Holy Prophet and followed his footsteps and have adopted his sunnah ways and methods and practices, the question does not arise that the shaitan can enter into their homes, or the fahisha, fahshi, the immodesty can enter into them, into those homes. But now we have to see. That you can make your children alims and scholars or whatever, but in our homes today, in our conditions and our environment, alim has been made or alim has been made. Is our lifestyle in accordance with the ittiba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, imitating, following his footsteps? And if we're not following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then shaitan will definitely enter into the house, because he sees a void, a gap. Rather, so strong is shaitan's entry that is there any action greater than salah? Yes, you just pray salah. Is there any greater ibadah than praying salah? Is there? No. And then further, that situation that you are stood in Jamaat congregation, Imam is reciting Quran, and you have made the niyyah intention, and you are stood in such a big ibadah, can there be any greater action of ibadah than this? No. Allah Ta'ala, what does he say? Allah subhanallah, glory be to Allah. That even here, in the presence of salah, if you're not stood in obedience and following the footsteps of the Prophet whilst you're praying salah, then shaitan will come into your salah. Imagine, even in that posture, even in that scenario, if we're not praying in accordance to the sunnah, we're praying salah, we stood there, and if we have not made the lines and the rows and arranged the rows in accordance to the sunnah of Rasulullah, and we leave gaps between us when we're standing, then shaitan will come in between us and make quarrels and disputes. Do you understand what I'm saying? So any action under the sun, There cannot be any action. Any action we do in our lives which is in opposition to the sunnah of Rasulullah, any ibadah, action, hajj, zakah, sadaqah, charity, any action under the sun, if it's performed in opposition to the sunnah, then definitely will have not nur and light, but it will have the involvement of shaitan in that action. And let's look at our lives. I pray Salah, I leave. I do tasbih and I leave. I do dhikr and leave. I recite 3 juz of Quran and leave. As soon as I enter into the home, don't we enter into the home? And which way, method do I enter into the home? Have I ever thought that how am I entering into the house? Oh, I prayed Salah, we go into the house, boom, knock it down. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained, that's not the way, my way to enter the home. This is Shaitan's way. If you enter into the house, recite dua. When you recite dua, then Shaitan and his workers who are attached to you, trying to enter into your home, they are trying, because you're not a prophet. You're not some great sahabi or scholar. You're not a nabi, a prophet, a messenger. You are a normal human being. It doesn't matter how much ibadah you do, but shaitan is chasing you. Allah has assigned shaitan to us, and shaitan's been given power. And subhanallah, he is running after us to eliminate our deeds. And soon as I enter my feet into my home, and it's in opposition to the way of the sunnah of entering the house, then shaitan will overwhelm us. End of story. Hasn't shaitan come from outside into the house? He has. So we need to think now, shaitan's entered into my house, then fahisha, immodest actions, impure actions, evil actions, then he captures the brain, the mind, he starts to order. Okay, yeah, today let me do this sin. Oh, it's alright, it's okay to do this. Oh, let's just talk a little while, chit-chat, gossip, malice. And then he starts to enter into the home and the habits of the home and the actions of the home, if we have followed his way. One sunnah that we discarded of entering the house, and we discarded that sunnah method, when we do any action which is devoid of the sunnah, immediately shaitan will enter into the action. Yes, we think it's a minor. We go home, we enter into the house. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed method was enter the house and say assalamu alaikum to the house, to the inhabitants of the house. How many brothers are there present? We do a lot of ibadah worship when we go into the house. What have you cooked today? What are you doing? What's that person doing? What's being made? Shaitan comes and says, I made dal today. Oh, how dare you? And he starts swearing, dal? You made dal today? And fasad, many divorces occur due to these stupid arguments. And then when he comes to his senses, he goes, was this something I really should have argued about? Shaitan, he influenced me. Why? Because he was proud. I prayed salah, so I did 3 siparas, juz, I did dhikr Allah, pious. And he enters into the house and follows shaitan's footsteps. That one action, even if one minute action of ours is against the sunnah practice, not in conformity with the sunnah, then shaitan will be involved, including the action. Remember these 2 formulas. Either on one hand, we have ittiba of the sunnah, following the footsteps of the sunnah, or we follow shaitan. We drink water. Either we follow the sunnah method and drink water, or we follow shaitan and drink water. How does shaitan drink water? We drink against the sunnah. We stand and drink. Rather than drinking with 3 sips, we drink in more sips or less. We don't say bismillah. We don't use the right hand. And all actions are being done to drink water, but they are not in a conformity with the sunnah. It doesn't matter how big an abid, zakir, shakir he is, shaitan has attacked him, because he's imitated shaitan, obeyed shaitan, and that drinking of water has become a source of loss for us, and shaitan will become stronger and we will become weaker. Brothers, let's take the ceiling in any room. Yes, for example, in your homes, in your houses, in rooms, you have the ceiling. And for example, you have the bathroom upstairs below the roof, the ceiling, and a small hole will appear or a crack, and you think, where's this hole come from? You'll ignore that hole. After a while, it will get bigger, get damp, decay, and after some days, you'll have to replace the ceiling of the room, because water comes in, it comes in from the leak in the roof, the proper roof, and then that ceiling becomes damp and it collapses. So if we do any action and we leave the action with a hole or a crack, we don't follow the sunnah, then shaitan will come into actions and that crack will widen, the hole will get bigger, and children are disobedient. How many people there are who are in this sorrowful state? So iman is great, Quran is great, becoming an alim is great, but all of these actions, if we do the actions without the inclusion of the sunnah, without the guidance of the sunnah, without the method of the sunnah, then we've wasted our ilm. You've become hafid, but in the night we're looking at images, and we're doing immodest actions. So whatever action we're doing against the sunnah, the ilm, the knowledge Allah has given, the ni'mas of Quran, hadith, memorization, Allah has given us tawfiq to do dhikr, and we have wasted these ni'mas because we have done ittiba shaitan and we've left ittiba Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala has explained this to us, that there's no cure for this. If you want to cure your immodesty and immorality and shameless lifestyle, then nothing. If you want to better your lives and that of your children and family, nothing can assist you. Rather, you will have to make lazim compulsory, that every time you do any action in life, it's compulsory to do it in the way of the sunnah. How did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do this? How did he sleep? You go to your bed. We don't do dua, we don't recite prayer, we don't utilize the sunnah method, we don't do wudu, we don't make that dua, the request. The tariqah of the sunnah of going to the mattress, we go jump, take the clothes off and dive into the bed and go to sleep. Without any relation to the sunnah, then shaitan will come whilst you're sleeping. All night long, he will spoil your sleep, disturb you, eliminate your ibadah, and you'll stay like an animal. You sleep like an animal. And despite having all ibadah, so much worship we do, but no nur comes into us. Is this a small thing to read a juz of the Quran? Subhanallah. I say that if insan, the human being, sits and does wudu, and then recites one verse of the Quran, I swear by Allah, the heart should be full of nur, light. Subhanallah, this is Allah's kalam. His words, the Quran, one sajda, prostration. If a person goes into the masjid and does one prostration in the way of the sunnah, wallahi, I swear by Allah, that one prostration will give him such a peak taste, a great taste enjoyment, that we can understand. We say the walis of Allah, they did ibadah all night long, worship all night, read Quran all night long. Someone said to me, how can this be? How can they all night long read Quran? How can they all night long worship and pray? But they don't understand. The person who asked this question doesn't realize that their life was in accordance to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sunnah. And then whatever ibadah you do after that, then you cannot ask that person, how does he feel the pinnacles of faith and taste of iman? But we don't follow sunnah in our lives. We do sujood, but our life is empty. Our eating, drinking, wearing, standing, going, our zahir, our batin, external, inside, we have not got a clue that what is the hukum of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas it said, the footstep by footstep, Allah Ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Allah is clearly saying here in this verse, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. If we want to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we have to follow him footstep by footstep. Every single action of his. That's why Rasulullah SAW never left an action out in his life to demonstrate to us that we also would not be confronted with. Does anyone today in the world guide us how to go into the toilet? How to sit during the time of the toilet, or teach the adab, the manners of how to be in the toilet? Does anyone teach us in the world today how to do istinja, wipe our backsides and private parts? The guidance is three stones. Or nowadays that can be replaced by tissue. Utilize the tissue three times, not three pieces of tissue. But we don't know how to utilize those three pieces of tissue. Yes, the first piece of tissue, wipe it from the front towards the rear. Then the second piece of tissue, wipe it from the rear towards the front. Then the third piece of tissue, you wipe again from the front towards the rear. And that will purify you. And this is the method of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Holy Prophet. But we don't know. We don't implement. Well, we won't do this. Then what if we do this action? Then we're imitating. And if we don't, then shaitan will come and get included in actions. Then who will give us the hukum? Who will order us and guide us? Cutting the nails. Cutting the nails. Does anybody today teach or educate anyone else on how to cut the nails? The manner, the method, the sequence? So the nails always. Look, here's two hands. Start from the right hand. Start from the forefinger, the shahada finger. Then the middle finger. Then the next finger. Then the small finger. Then come to the left hand. Then the little finger. Then the second finger. The third middle finger. The fourth. The forefinger. Then the thumb. Then this thumb. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi wrote this. A great jurist. Faqih. Faqih, he made this a topic in his kitab, in his book, because he knew cutting the nails is not a minor action. It's a lifestyle action. And for the Muslims, every single action in life has two forms and colors. Either imitation and following the footsteps of Rasulullah ﷺ, or following the footsteps of shaitan. We have to make the choice. Making your appearance, your face, you can keep the face and the beard the way you want. It's up to you, yes? But there's only one way to keep it right, which is the way of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, which is the sunnah beard length. Yes, someone's keeping it this long or this long. Someone's cutting from this side, from that side, from the bottom side. We say it's a beard. It's not the beard. It's ittaba shaitan. It's obedience of shaitan. Ittaba of sunnah is the beard should be minimum one fist length. And I say, I've got a beard. Or he says he's got a beard. He's following the footsteps of shaitan. That beard will instruct that person to do fahisha, immodest actions. And he's calling that a beard. But that fake beard, that cut beard, will make that person do wrong. He looks at obscene images with that beard. He does wrong immoral actions. Those children who have studied Bukhari, ilmiyat, and knowledge, despite having knowledge in their hearts, they do actions of fahisha and zina. and adultery because they don't have ittiba'i sunnah in their lives. What a big topic Allah Ta'ala is mentioning to us. Massive topic. And we have just taken it for granted that I'll be fine and I'll be saved. My brothers, today this is the hinge between success in this world and the hereafter. Nobody can ever be successful in the hereafter whose every breath is not according to the sunnah of Rasulullah. He cannot be successful in the hereafter. There's one formula that whenever you do an action, ask yourself, what is the sunnah methodology for this action? Any action, for every action in life, you're going to the shop, running a business, speaking to the customer, taking money from someone, paying somebody, arguments, quarrel, friendship, connection with the society, relationships, relatives, neighbors, people who hate you or your enemies, you're making amends, joining together, forging together, whatever is the scenario, all of the game of life, the circulation life for the mu'min, his life should be within one boundary, one circle. Keep on asking Rasulullah and follow his sunnah. Keep on asking Rasulullah's method, follow his sunnah. And this is what the Quran is telling us. Ma zaka, Allah Ta'ala says, subhanAllah. Allah says it's impossible that a person can be pure without the sunnah. How can a person be pure and clean inside without the sunnah of Rasulullah? It's impossible. And as soon as a person starts to implement the sunnah practices, lifestyle of sunnah, for example, your head, you can have a bare head, pray salah, and then let's go better than that, you can have a topi, a cap, and pray salah. Let's go further, closer to the sunnah. If you have imam on your head, then you are closer to the sunnah. So there are categories of the sunnah, and they will increase in the intensity. For example, you're wearing sharia, conformity, libas. Yes? So, no, I'm not talking about wearing the trousers and the blazer. No, you can't wear that and pray because this is displeasing Allah. Fair enough, you are wearing outside, it's your free choice. But when you come into the house of Allah, the court of Allah, then wear that libas, that tie that Allah and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam preferred and liked. That's it. So it's nothing about being unhappy and quarreling. Okay, you're at work, you wear whatever you want, no problem. But when you come to the house of Allah to do sujood, prostration, you stood on the prayer mat, then it should not be in our wildest dreams that we have the attire that Allah is not pleased with this. My friends, we have a shari libas. So what will work at that time is shari libas. And shari libas, maybe you wear that. And for example, the shari libas is what? That your satar, your private parts, the portion of your private parts of your body should not be visible. And that needs to be covered. So that's the satar. So, subhanAllah. So now, we've worn the shari libas. Now the shari libas, how do we bring that into the sunnah methodology? And according to the sunnah, what was the libas, the attire of the Prophet ﷺ and the sahaba? So alhamdulillah, the color of Rasulullah ﷺ, his method, then ittiba will increase, and Allah's qurb will increase, subhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us this. Man habba sunnati fahabbani. Whoever follows my sunnah, gets closer to my sunnah, then he will become my mahbub. SubhanAllah, he will become my beloved. Now we read this, no. Oh, we'll take out the marches and recite naats, and I'll do this and that. I will become better Judas all night long. I'll do worship. You can do everything you want. But if there's no ittiba of Rasulullah Sallam, then the actions will be thrown back in our face. Thrown back into our faces. SubhanAllah. So straight away, little any action we do that we want to please Allah, how should we do the action? We should follow the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ in each and every action of our lives. So my brothers, in every portion of life we need to think, what are we doing? If we've discarded a sunnah, then a crack's appeared in the wall, in the ceiling, Shaitan has come in, then he does starts to fulfill his task and duties. They promise Allah. So what should we do is that when we construct the house and make the roof, we put the tiles, then what should we do is ensure there's no hole or gap or leak or crack to allow water into the house or into the ceilings. And we say, oh, so I leave a few cracks, a few holes, only water's going to come in, what difference does it make? No, we'll apply silicon and sealant, and then we'll keep on looking at it and we'll test it, that sealed place, that is water permeating through, dropping through. And how many products in the world have been manufactured, silicon sealants? These people know, they keep selling these thousands of different styles they put in their shop. Oh, put this on and see how the water is sealed, and do this just to close off one hole. And Allah Ta'ala said that I want you to seal all of the holes and cracks away from shaitan. And how do you do that? By doing ittiba of the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. Imitating sunnah. Don't leave one crack or hole in the ceiling. If we don't, then how can we leave a crack or a hole in our lives? Will we not earn loss? Of course we will. Of course we will. Do you understand what I'm saying today? So don't just put 100% reliance on your ibadah, on your worship, on your words, on your lectures, Quran, tafsir, commentary. Don't have full 100% hope that this will assist. Because if these the knowledge is being implemented in accordance to the sunnah, then this is gold for us, noor for us. If you do amal on the sunnah, then Quran knowledge, your hadith knowledge, your ilm, and your Sahih Bukhari will become noor ala noor, enlightened with the practice of the sunnah, subhanallah. And if we have all of this, we don't have it by sunnah, then this will all become dust and soil. Allah will say, I don't have a need for this. I don't know your Bukhari, your Quran, your Hajj. Allah will say, keep this ilm to yourself. Show me one thing, Allah says, for which I created this universe. This universe would not be present if Allah's Habib, Mahbub, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not present. Allah Ta'ala said it clearly. Everything I created, oh my Mahbub, due to your barakah, it's due to your barakah and blessings, and it will continue with your barakah and blessings, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we act and we carry out actions in opposition to sunnah. We stand in the masjid and we do sujood, we speak against the sunnah when we stood in the masjid or prostrating in the masjid. No, I'll do this. Yes, the Rawda Mubarak, the blessed Rawda Mubarak, the grave of the Prophet and the house of Allah, Ka'batullah Sharif. We do wrong actions and sins in those holy environments and places. Today in the Alam Islam, politically, what's the hal, the condition of the Muslims? We're weak. I'm not going to speak about politics. I speak about religious points. But obviously, we're not stupid. We're living in the world. We're not crazy. We're not foolish. We know what is the hal and the poor state of the Muslims today. Isn't it? That today, if we look around, the most cowardly group of people in the world is probably the Muslimin. And probably we were never as cowardly as this. We are worse than the flies, weaker than flies and mosquitoes. Anyone can stand and rebuke us with ease. Oh, how dare you? Who are you? It'll just take a couple of weeks and we'll just be gone with you. Yeah, within 3 days we will deal with you, and you won't be around any longer. You won't be. For example, and then we get scared, we tremble, and everyone is affected. Subhanallah. And this Kaaba, this was the Kaabatullah, Makkah Sharif and Madinah Tumanullah. Hazrat Hussein, Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu, stood from the same place and he said, I'll tell you the cure of this generation, I'll depart. I'm giving you the cure for this day and age, and I'll depart. And for those generations to come, I'm giving you the cure and the solution today. Remember, and he demonstrated the cure, and he demonstrated the solution for our problems. Subhanallah. Yes, and he stood with the power that Allah Ta'ala gave him. And mashallah, he demonstrated. He said, I'm with the haq. I cannot pass away by not practicing the haq, the truth. So my brothers, this is all for that reason, that in our midst, in our homes and in our societies, the following the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ has not remained. We've left the sunnah. And that's why we have problems and destruction today. Well, if we come to the sunnah, then we'll be fine. It doesn't matter how weak we are. Doesn't matter how frail we are. We are weak and frail. And our society and homes and households and families, we have nothing, but we have one thing on the other side, ittiba of the sunnah, imitating the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then physically we have no assets or resources, but Allah says, I will send the assistance from the heavens. In the expedition of Badr, Allah showed every example. Yani, the angels, they descended with the imamas from the skies during the expedition of Badr. And today can also occur that Allah Ta'ala changes the scenario. It could happen most equally today. And we, what do we read? Dua kunut at Fajr time, special duas, extra actions, this drama, that, X, Y, Z. It's all about laugh. This is just a laughing stock. This is just, these are actions that deserve laughter and nothing else. Is it a cure? This ain't the cure for our problems and issues today. This drama that we're carrying out. Oh, do this many khatams and dua kunut and this and that. Yes, these things are the cure. They're great actions. They're great remedies, and the Prophet of Allah demonstrated that Fajr Salah, if you recite Dua Kunut, then it's such a solid solution and a powerful solution that those who try to spoil our issues, then they cannot stand firm. But Allah Ta'ala says these things will only assist us when we do them beforehand with imitation of the sunnah. Today we have put the Quran to the side, we put our dhikr to the side, our ibadat we put to the side, worship we put to the side, because we don't have the essence, which is the ittiba of Rasulullah in our lives. Do dua. Do you understand the cure, my brothers? Do you understand the disease? Yes, the injection has come now, hasn't it? Yes. So we've understood now how will we be reformed and improved and created and improved, and that we don't need to go to amils, we don't need to go to magicians and those poor souls who are stuck today. Everyone's stuck. Our children, they do bad behavior, and the amils and the magicians and exorcists cannot correct it. Quran recitation cannot improve it. La ilaha illa anta subhanallah cannot improve it. Allah says ma zaka. You cannot be purified. You cannot be pure. You cannot be clean. You can only be clean when Allah Ta'ala allows. Allah says walaula fadlullah. Walaula fadlullah alayhi. alaykum wa rahmatuhu ma zaka. Allah, and were it not for Allah's favor upon you and His grace, not one of you would ever remain pure. And the greatest grace and mercy of Allah, favor, is the coming of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this world. Allah says, don't do wrong, purify yourself, and do ta'aleem to your children, educate them, not to become half-half. Don't tell your children to have one step here and one step there on the other side of the door. No. Need to be consistent. No child should enter into the house unless he says assalamu alaikum. No child should enter into the house without saying assalamu alaikum to the mother, father. Hi, how are you doing? What's happening? ABC, they come in the house, music is put on, singing is put on, and no salam, greetings. I remember when we would come home from school when we were young, we wouldn't get food to eat. We had a hukam, an order, the first say salam when you come into the house. We became so habitual that brother assalamu alaikum, big sister assalamu alaikum, and we used to say assalamu alaikum to everybody in the line that we're in. We'd stand at the door and everyone would say assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum assalam, wa alaikum assalam. Then we'd enter to the house and then we would get food served to us. Alhamdulillah, until today, this age, I have a habit. I go home, I don't look, is anyone younger or older, wife, children, whoever, guest, straight away I go and say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And today the habit is still strong and firm, because parents did tarbiyah. They gave us education and improvement and training that you have to have ittiba of sunnah in coming to the house. So many barakat come from Islam. When a person follows sunnah, there's a hadith, when a person enters into the house and says assalamu alaikum, then poverty and cannot enter into the home. And alhamdulillah, until today, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, I have no money, nor did I have money, but I've never experienced muflisi in my lifestyle, subhanallah, in my lifetime. So what is this? It's the one sunnah of Rasulullah that helps and influences to us to get to the stage. Enter the house, recite Durood Sharif, and recite Durood Sharif. After reciting Durood Sharif, say Assalamu Alaikum to everybody in the house. And how dare Shaitan remain? Can he dare to carry on with his funny games? Tell me. They will sit to eat, and they will eat like animals. Someone standing and eating, somebody sitting down eating, and somebody sitting from this way, that way. Is this ittiba of the sunnah? Yes. Every morsel of food that goes in our bodies, Shaitan will go with that morsel. And Rasulullah has told us himself, with every morsel, Shaitan's going in. And obviously, then if Shaitan goes into the body, then awlad that will come, children, they'll be affected by Shaitan all night long. Shaitan plays with those individuals, plays games, do this and do that. He says, oh, magic. Oh, he's gone mad, he's gone crazy. This is happening, that's happening. Dumb, nothing at all. Apart from ittiba of Rasulullah in our homes, eating haram, sitting haram. In our households, we got haram, buying haram, eating haram, houses haram, everything haram and alufal. Kullun haram. Kullun. So don't just say, oh, I've been on chillah, I've gone to this many days, and I've come back, and we think that we come back as Bayezid Bustami. When you come back from the chillah, then learn sunnahs whilst you're away and then utilize them at home. Subhanallah. This is a practical life. The deen of Islam is a complete way of life, a practical life. If you do dhikr and dhikr, and the dhikr will say to us that you've become Bayezid Bastami or Junaid Baghdadi. Yes? So after doing dhikr, what should our life be? What should it be? That's why dhikr is not affecting us today, positively. Yes, we should be good after doing dhikr. It's not having an effect that we haven't got adab between the sheikh and the murid nowadays. Tell me, there's no manners left, no regard. One murid rises to a sheikh, imagine this. And he lives in Makkatul Mukarramah, the murid, the student. He said that my sheikh, when he speaks, then sometimes I say things in opposition to my sheikh. When I speak in opposition to him, he gets angry, and then he tells me off. When he tells me off, I feel the enjoyment like I am consuming melted honey and butter. This is the ummah of today. This is the murid of today. He said, when my sheikh scolds me, then I get enjoyment of melting butter and honey. And he considers himself a khalifa. He can never be a khalifa. He can't even be a murid. Why? Because he's got haram inside. Everything's haram. If your life's not in accordance with the sunnah methods, then the life is in conformance to the nafs and desires. We have spoiled the name of the tasawwuf, the peer, the murid, the sheikh, the student. Look at the great learnings and teachings of what were those golden generation. Hazrat Baba Farid Shakar Ganjri was such a great sheikh. And Hazrat, mashallah, somebody, whoever would be his peers, they had quality. Read, pick up the kitabs and read about their lives. As a Chiragdeen Delvi rahmatullah alayh, he was a murid, great murid, and his sheikh was a big sheikh, and he would see how they were and how they were with each other. Hazrat Baqi Billah rahmatullah was the sheikh and quality murid. Hazrat Mujaddid al-Aftani rahmatullah was his murid, was his student. And that silsila is continuing. Today's murid, I've given the example, he says that when my sheikh speaks to me, I go in opposition to him. When I speak in opposition to him, then he gets angry and he goes into a frenzy. Then he said, I enjoy myself like I'm consuming melted butter and honey. Allah, and he says, I'm a khalifa. Lanat on such a person, curses on such a person who does such bad actions. And this is today tasawwuf, this bad state of affairs, because dhikr will not affect that person even if he sat in front of the Kaaba, unless he has ittiba' of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So you understand that point I'm making to you? And this is the real cure for the ummah today. There's no other cure, no solution, no du'as, no prayers, no recitations, nothing. Wahid, one solution, Allah said, wahid. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى. Allah says, my greatest favor and mercy upon you, take that, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and utilize that to give yourself the solution. No other power can assist us apart from this. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to understand this. And remember, whenever any problem comes, difficulty comes, when you see your children are disobedient, your son, daughter are disobedient, straight to understand there's no other solution, but we have discarded the sunnah or sunnahs in our homes. There's no sunnah. Our life, our eating, drinking, sitting, standing is against the sunnah. Not one sunnah should be discarded. Make it a principle, make it a life routine, that automatically that should come into my life, that when I go to sleep, I sleep in that way, when I wake up, I come in the same way, when I do wudu, I recite the dua, when I put my shoes on, I sit the sunnah way. It should become second nature for us, it should become a habit, that how am I going to live my life. The routine things in life become a habit, a good habit, according to the sunnah. So we have to practice this, understand this, and may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Amen.